Well, where do we have an intro written out?
Yeah, every time. Literally, this is, we should just keep playing this part every time. We always talk about it. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Bits and Bytes podcast. My name is Danielle Ross, and I am the elementary tech coach in South Windsor here.
I'm Doug Kucher, and I am the director of systems and programs for South Windsor Public Schools.
And today, we're going to talk about all of the things. All just of like the things? Usual.
Like usual?
All of the things.
Just scattered shot all over the place.
I mean, we always come with a general idea and then we just go on tangents. That's what we're good at.
Yeah, no, tangents are good. It keeps people interested in listening. I mean,
if their brains work like our brains.
Well, what we could do is we could put this podcast in Notebook LM by Google. Mm-hmm. And then it would come up with a truncate our podcast from 50 minutes or 30 minutes to 5 minutes, and it would replace us.
Edit it for me is what you're saying.
It'll summarize it, and then it will have two people, fake people, AI people.
Soul. if you will.
Talk back and forth with each other, and it will create a 5 minute podcast.
Oh, without breathing and such.
Yes, and without breathing and tangents, and it'll be on point. It's a little humorous too. I don't know if you listened.
I have not gotten to it. Unfortunately, I've become popular. I've got a lot more things to do. That when I saw this roll through my email, I was like, "Oh, another day," and that day hasn't come yet. Yeah, so I haven't explored.
I checked it when it came out last year. I think it was last year.
I saw the quick video.
Yeah, no, it came out last year, and I played around. The features weren't there, and then it exploded. Like a couple weeks ago, they put out new features, and the podcast is a new feature. So for those of you not. Who do not know what we're talking about, Google came out with Notebook LM, and you can just put your documents in there. So saying you have to study for grad school or anything really, and you can put your study guide, articles, and put it all in there, and it'll summarize and come up with a podcast so you can listen to the summary in an engagement format.
Your notes in like stand-up comedy form.
I'm not sure about that. I haven't played around.
Google, take the suggestion. I would like to know my grad school notes in the form of stand-up.
Well, it's going to be dad jokes.
I'm down with dad jokes.
Yeah. Because it's not like nuanced enough. You know, ChatGPT and that, they come up with really corny jokes. And I love those jokes, by the way.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. I can't think of one right now, but listen, dad jokes make me giggle.
Yeah.
They're just so bland that it's funny.
That's the point. That's why.
Yeah.
Anyways. All right. So
so that's Notebook LM.
That's Notebook LM for you. It's not available to students yet, but it is available to staff out there if they want to try to use it. So it's kind of a – I mean, the thing is, like, my biggest – it's not fear, but there's so much stuff coming out that people kind of – eyes get glazed over, and they're like, I just want to focus on what I have to focus on. And,
yeah.
So, you know, if you listen to this 30-minute podcast, you know, you can take it for what it is. And you can experiment with it. Just know it's out there. And know it's just, this stuff is just getting better and better. And we can help kind of sift through that. If we find something that is going to be just fantastic for you, we'll make sure that you have some training on it. But stuff like Notebook LM would be useful. Personally right now, but I'm not sure. It's not really out for prime time yet.
Okay. But I mean, the rate of growth with technology has it really been since 21 now? Has been exponential.
Yeah, so, it has been for a while. It's called Moore's Law. You know what Moore's Law is?
You've probably told me about it three times. Many times. Go ahead, tell me a fourth, Doug.
Yeah, but basically the speed of a chip, let's put it that way, will increase. 2 times every, I think it was 18 months. They said 2 years, but it was really 18 months. Mm-hmm. This guy named Moore came up with that kind of theory, and he was kind of on point with it. But now, Moore's Law is out the window. Things are just speeding up. I mean, it's exciting stuff too, right? It's scary and exciting at the same time. Because mm-hmm. thinking about cancer research, if you're starting out as a researcher right now, not to bore you, but
me specifically,
you specifically, yeah. I mean, there's so many publications out there now that you have to sift through and just make sure all your resources are correct. And mm-hmm. if you have a device, an AI device or a chatbot or something that you can just kind of say, I want to learn about this, give me the top highlights, I'm in the top 10 research articles on this, publications, and then do the analysis for me and to narrow it down because we only have so much brain capacity. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. It's like the brain capacity hasn't changed in thousands of years yeah. for humans.
No, I do this when you send me emails. I run it through AI. I said, tell me the important parts, please.
Oh my goodness.
You send me articles and I'm like, wow, it's more than two paragraphs. I don't know how he expects me to read this.
Well, a lot of the times I'm sitting there, not sitting there.
Standing there using your pedal bike. I just try to do that. That is not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's going away.
It's way more fun if there's like a screen. That's not a work screen, like a Peloton screen.
Yeah, you're at home and you're going through your news feed on your phone, you know, or like last night, you know, I had a couple of minutes. I went to a soccer game last night, my kid's soccer game.
And you did not bring your pedals.
No, I did not. I was standing there, and then you know, if you start, you just like any other distraction. You know, during halftime or whatever, you go through it. You find an interesting article, you read through it, and then you send it by email to you know. Just you don't take it what it is.
That is generational, sir. I absolutely do not send interesting articles by email to people I care about.
Okay.
I just throwing that out there. I will send a funny reel in their DMs. I will not email. I just emailed my friends today about a coupon for a flight, and that I had to warn them to check their email.
See, just the word, the initials DM, it's just like I had to think about what a DM is.
Direct message.
A direct message, which is what an email is.
But email is typically associated with work nowadays.
Yeah.
I try not to spend too much time in there in my free time. But always checking the reels and the DMs. I'm down for a good dad joke and video form.
Oh my goodness. Anyways, so what we have here, this is our first podcast this year. And so we've had, we're really unrolling out some AI things for teachers now, which yes. is, I think, are fantastic.
They are. I mean, I know we talked about it. They've piloted a lot of things in the past couple of years trying to find the tool that's the best for us. And the reason we're just recording our first podcast now is because we've been in the trenches since we started this year. And they are fearless tech leaders at the middle and high school. Debbie and Ed they're really leading the charge on this.
Yeah, so we have Magic School AI. Mm-hmm. And some people ask, well, why would you choose one AI system since things come out all the time?
Because it's cute.
Well,
that's why we chose this.
It's more than cute, right? So there's like three things yeah. that we look for in any application.
Yes.
I know you're rolling your eyes. Aesthetics is one. Well, whether people use it is
well, that's the thing. It has to be visually appealing and have a good user interface. Otherwise, you're going
to. See, you can think like that. I have to think of the way, well, it has to be comply with our Connecticut data privacy laws.
This is why we put our heads together.
And then it has to be secure and tuned in so it doesn't go off the rails. So it's on the rails between the...
on the train tracks.
The goalposts, meaning that it's already been tuned for students so it doesn't go off the rails.
Yeah.
And that means like if you go to other AI systems, they're tuned, but they're not specifically tuned for students. Mm-hmm. So if you ask it a question, it's going to think I'm talking to... 13-year-old, a 12-year-old, a 15-year-old, yes. and it'll respond accordingly yes. and not go off the rails. And the third thing is that it's have some teacher control.
Yes.
Because we just don't want to be the Wild West and have students just use AI systems on their own, which they could be using at home and stuff like that. They're everywhere now, but this gives us something to use in class that is approved.
Yes.
And it basically, the teacher can kind of see what the chat history is for. They can
totally see.
It's, yeah, kind of. They can totally see.
They can hop right into the, yeah, and the so student and AI interaction.
It's a thought process. And so I guess for me, it's what people ask, well, why are we going in this direction? So why are we, you know, people are artificial intelligence, why bother? And it goes back to why we educate students, right?
Why do we educate?
Yeah, well, you know, we're legally obligated to educate students.
Yeah, one. How did we get there?
Yeah. Well, you know, so.
I mean, you want, you know, good contributing members to society, right? That's why we educate people holistically. But, like, when you think about how, I mean, I was never explicitly educated on the internet and social media personally. I had a good cheerleading coach who would go off and print my posts on social media and say, and hold them up to us at practice and be like, is this appropriate? And that is kind of how I got my training. But I imagine not everybody got training like that. And so we've got some generations that have been brought up in this technology without much guidance whatsoever. And so now this is our opportunity to change that.
That's a great point. That's not where I was going with it, but that's a great point.
Yeah, no, we're bringing out guidance.
Yeah, guidance is one, but also personalized learning. We talk about it. We've been talking about it for years. Yeah, well, yeah, no, it's like this is my 27th year in education, and we've been talking about personalized learning, you know, since I started. And this really gives it some weight, AI, because it can be a personalized tutor.
Yeah.
And so it has been shown, I was just reading about a Harvard study.
Okay. Like you actually read it or you had AI like summarize it for you?
No, I actually read it. Okay. I'm sure AI wrote the article, so it's pretty succinct.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So basically this was college students, so it wasn't like high school or middle school students, but
you sent this to us, didn't you? Because I started reading, I was like, wow, this is a lot of pages.
Oh my goodness. No, it... no, it's talking about just tutoring. And they were saying AI-assisted tutoring with a lecture at college. Mm-hmm. I think students, let me see here, it said they're twice as much, learn twice as much with AI tutors compared to traditional lecturers. So largely due to the personalized, adaptive nature of the tutoring experience, because if you think about how the brain operates, mm-hmm, and how we actually learn, that really hasn't changed much. There's not a chip. Well, there is a chip you can implant in your brain now, but it hasn't, like...
I'm going to hard pass on that, but keep going.
Neuralink, you ever hear about that?
Yeah, I hard pass. Next.
Well, you can control your computer with your brain waves. Yeah, okay, hard pass. Okay.
Anyways, absolutely not for me, but if you would like to go for that.
No. Well, I mean, yeah, okay. Let's not go there.
Yeah, I'm going to just go with tangible things for now that in my hands, not my head.
Yeah, so that part, we haven't really changed on how we actually learn.
Yeah.
So just by asking questions and... quizzing ourselves and talking about things and formulating our own thoughts and having that immediate feedback, that is time tested. So that's what AI can really provide for students. It's for humans, it's the motivational piece. It's really setting up the experience, but to have it AI assisted is what's really exciting.
Yeah. And I think on, you know, to putting, you know, my not necessarily higher education, but like non-elementary education cap back on. And you think about, you know, sometimes why didn't I get these interactions in class? Because I'm embarrassed to say them out loud in front of my peers, because that's kind of how being a teenager is. But with these tools, you can have these kinds of questions and back and forth with the AI tutors without feeling, you know, fear of your social interactions with other teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah. Or adults.
Or adults.
Or anybody, really. You know, you have that question. In fact, I was listening to a podcast. A professor was saying that the other day in this podcast I was listening to. Well, he wasn't saying the other day. The other day I was listening to the podcast, but he was saying that he is finding less and less clarifying questions in his class because students are like, well, I'm just going to ask the AI afterwards.
Yeah.
So that's where the teacher has to be kind of in control of what the AI is feeding the students. So, so what I like about the program that we have now, Magic School AI, is you can do that. Mm-hmm. So you can feed in articles or
rubrics
or anything like that to a personalized chatbot that will help guide a student for any questions that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we talk about reluctant learners too, who, you know, you need that human touch of the motivation factor. And I think just showing those reluctant students how to use AI for what they want to use it for. Like, I've been using it. So I made a shift from just using Google. I don't really use Google anymore or any search engine. I've been using AI, the ChatGPT version.
He has the paid version, everybody, so it's current, just so you know.
Yeah, it's current.
The free one is not current.
So I'm shifting anything I want to ask to that, and it's kind of been eye-opening. Anything like we talked about before the podcast about, you know, you take a picture of a tool and it'll give you the instructions and tell you what it can and can't accept.
Yes.
So things like that where you wouldn't think of how to use AI, you know, that's what I'm exploring right now. Just ask every question that I have to AI and see what it comes up. I'm doing a half marathon next week.
Of course you are.
I snapped my hamstring like in April. So yep. I'm just getting back in shape. So I am doing what ChatGPT is telling me to do in a training program. Yeah. So like stuff like that where normally I'd kind of seek out a training program.
Yeah.
So I'm not in shape for a half marathon right now. And I put that in there and I said, I only want to run 3 or 4 times a week and come up with it. And it came up with a pretty good plan. So hopefully I can make it. We'll see.
May the power be with you, Doug.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so. I'm running with a friend, so it's just going to be a talk fest during it. So it's not going to be really for time. But I say that now once we get going.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe you'll heckle each other.
Maybe.
Motivate that way. Nothing like that will motivate me to jog, run, or any of the like. But I have used ChatGPT for similar things. But I feel like just like with like a human and being comfortable with like interacting, it's just kind of what you got to do with AI too.
Yep. Yep. So, I mean, scheduling too, I've used it to help plan one of my days out. And I put the things I want to get done this day, any meetings I have, and it comes up with a schedule.
Hmm.
I just say, hey, you know, after 20 minutes, take a break and then come back to it. Kind of like the Pomodoro technique. You know that technique?
The 20-20-20, like the look away for 20 seconds.
Yeah, you put basically a timer. That's the old school is you put like a timer for 20 minutes and you work straight for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it rings and then you take a break and then you just do things in like 20-minute intervals.
Yeah.
And take like a 5-minute break in between and then you get more stuff done that way.
Yeah, I call that like blocking. I will close out my email, Doug.
That's a great idea.
Accomplish a task without interruptions.
Yeah, because I think we use email as an excuse sometimes.
Well, you're like, oh, I have to get this done right now. And I'm like, well, actually, I'm not a heart doctor. It can wait 20 minutes right. And nobody will perish.
No one's going to die. Yep, not right now. I mean, I figure people will text me if there's a really huge issue.
Also why I don't give out my phone number, because how am I supposed to focus when I'm being, you know.
I'm in a little bit different situation than you. I kind of have to have my number out there for people to text. But anyways, so we're talking about Magic School. So that's available right now, grades 6 through 12.
In our district. With premium accounts. Using Google, right? We stayed with Google.
The single sign-on?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you mean. So you can sign in through Google, your apps account.
Yes.
Yeah, as long as you sign in through your apps account, you can use that. And it's safe for students. And the thing is, students can go in. You create a room.
Yep.
And the students start belonging to that room. And I was looking at the stats, and we're having a lot of people are using Magic School right now.
Yeah.
And one of the top chatbots they're using that Magic School created is called Character. chatbot. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is they're using it like, hey, if you want to talk to Abraham Lincoln or Albert Einstein or some historical figure or even a current figure.
Are you going to petition to have yourself put on there?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Have a chat with
Douglas. Well, and you can create your own chatbot. So you can create your own persona. So you can say, hey, here's my documents, sound like me, which is kind of scary. I could go to so many sci-fi. See, I know you don't.
I don't.
You were into Harry Potter, but.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I read a lot of sci-fi. It's amazing how on point they are. People who wrote these like books about 50, 60, 70 years ago, and we're just now experiencing what they wrote. So it's mind-boggling how all these things are coming true and kind of scary too. But anyways, it's not so scary. But that is the exciting thing. So the ability to create chatbots, but you like Magic School because it looks cute.
And it's got good scaffolding. So that's the thing is from the elementary lens, you know, we are differentiating to all 24, 26 kids in the class at all times. We don't have like leveled classes. You are doing all of this and you've got so much on your brain that it's just like, yeah, this tool may be amazing. I do not have the capacity to learn one more thing right now. And so with Magic School, it does the scaffolding for you and it's easy to look at. If I had to decipher where to go, what I want it to do, how to make it produce what I want it to produce, I just wouldn't touch it. But because it's, you know, got good UI, good user interface, it's easy to work with, we're, you know, going to have more people that are willing to give it a try because we don't have time to waste. And this is going to give you a great output with a little bit of work.
Not a lot of work. And the thing is, it gives feedback too.
Mm-hmm.
Immediate, instantaneous feedback, which is important. So if you're doing something in class, you have a problem set up there, or you have a kind of a debate, you can have a couple kids in a room debating a chatbot from the past, things like that, and then they can refine their debating skills. I mean, there's so many opportunities to use this. So that's why I think I'm excited for it.
And you know what I also love is that Magic School was created by educators for educators, and we literally have a direct line to this company. And they love to get feedback from us, from any of the users. And so there's constantly updates of, oh, we heard you wanted this. It's going to be rolling out really shortly. Oh, we heard you wanted to change this feature so it looks like this. And that's happening. So, you know, if you looked at it a couple months ago, look again, because it has changed.
Yeah, so we also, any other new things that out there? I mean, I just want to promote that we do have two VR carts in District 2. And I know, I think Crystal Bainville last year did PD on that during one of the Choice PD.
Yes, she did.
So we do have that available too. So just if you're listening to this out there, know that we have those available and then just reach out to one of the tech coaches.
Yeah, to schedule a delivery. We will put it on a skateboard and we'll just push it around town to get to the next location. It's really, that's going to help me how Doug gets his steps in because he likes to move. And so this is a great opportunity for him to get out there and get some resistance training, some half marathon training is to push these carts from building to building.
Yeah, okay. So,
no, but yeah. For real, if you want to deliver it to your school, you need to talk to your tech coach and we will arrange a delivery for you with a vehicle.
Yeah, we only have two in the district, but I think they have 30.
Yeah, so actually, I'm meeting with a teacher next week to go over. They just emailed ClassVR. They have, I want to say the word scene. I don't think it's a scene in this program, but they have an activity where you can experience what it's like going to an election location. And you can kind of see that process through the VR. And I know fifth grade does, I think it's called Kid Governor. And so they do a lot of cool stuff. And the fact that it's a giant election year, it all ties in. So we're going to explore, and I'm actually just going to steal a handful of the goggles make sure they're charged, because you should be able to run activities per goggle, if that makes sense.
Yeah, as long as it's hooked up to the same network.
Yeah, so even though I'm going to take, like, you know, five and bring them to another building, it should be fine because Crystal already knows I'm stealing five. She'll only push it out to, you know, numbers 1 through 25, and I'll push it out 26, 30. Yeah, fingers crossed. And yeah. I just hope it doesn't run out of battery while we're doing it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you'll figure that part out. Yeah, I think it's USB-C anyways to power it. But also what's really exciting about it is we talked about AI characters. Mm-hmm. So they do have features where you can talk to a virtual, let's say, I don't know, give me a historical character.
Fictional one? I was like, is it too soon, Professor McGonagall?
All right. Say you want to talk to George Washington or...
Carver. I love peanut butter.
George Washington Carver. All right. You want to talk to George Washington Carver. And they have the, you know, a facsimile of VR 3D representation of George Washington Carver. And yeah, it's an AI. So they load up everything that has been written about him and or he's written, and they put it in the system so it'll tune itself to sound like a George Washington Carver, and then you can actually meet them virtually.
So is this an our system, or so is this, I think, in this a hypothetical system?
No, right? I think it's coming out now. So I mean, just think about the future, especially in the class VR. I think they're coming out.
Yeah, with those features. Because maybe you've seen this. I have never seen peanuts in the wild. I would love to know, like, what? How do peanuts grow? I know they're not a tree nut, right? And tree nuts grow on trees, but, like, we're part of the generation. We're in an area where we don't actually farm.
Your food's coming from?
Have you ever seen broccoli in the wild? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. We were up in northern Maine, and it smelled like broccoli out in the wild, and then I didn't know that broccoli grows in the ground with these leaves around them, giant leaves, and in the center are these little broccoli clusters, and they were just like hand picking the broccolis and throwing them in the back of the truck to harvest them.
Yeah, I love going to like old nurseries. Like one time I was at a little nursery, and so
like a plant nursery or a human nursery?
Plant nursery.
Okay, just checking.
And you have random things that are growing in the ground.
Okay.
Like, you know.
Vegetation.
Vegetation, yeah. Yeah, so you have random things. What's really funny is we had a plant at our old house that we're like, what is this? Something was growing from the plant.
Can use, like,
yeah,
technology.
Yeah, now it wasn't Google back then. I could just take a picture of it back then and yeah, ask what. It ended up being a pineapple.
A pineapple?
We had no idea.
In Connecticut?
Someone gave us a pineapple plant, or some seed went to one of our plants.
Yeah.
And a pineapple grew from it, and it was delicious.
How long did it take to fully grow?
I have no idea, because that's when I noticed it.
Because doesn't like an avocado take like 5 years?
I didn't really pay
years.
Attention to the plants that much, as you can tell.
You know, I don't know. You ever see like Brussels sprouts in the wild?
No.
They grow on a stalk, and then they've got a little... Like, each branch is a Brussels sprout, and I'll never forget grocery shopping with my mom one time. I saw it, and I was like, I don't even think I like these vegetables, but now I got to get it.
See, this is where AI fails us.
Why?
Because there's no way AI would go on off all these tangents, unless you told it to.
But, like, okay, so then let's circle back. We can interview farmers, right? Like, we are not – I know there's farms in Connecticut, obviously – but, like, we are not regionally known for mass-producing produce.
So you're saying, like, with AI, it's cheaper to do it this way? To have, like, a person go out there, take a bunch of pictures, like, 3D
Yeah,
pictures.
Next time up in Maine, I can go and tour the broccoli farm, and our kids down here who are likely never to see broccoli growing in the wild can now maybe interview a farmer virtually through AI and kind of see, like... Not, obviously not tangible because it's AI, but like instead of just seeing photos and reading an article about it, you can just ask all these questions.
And know where their food is coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
All right. So we're around 30 minutes now. So is there any other thing that we're doing new or exciting out there in the beginning of the
year? Well, we are presenting at the Ed Advance Conference coming up Friday, October 11th. So me, Debbie Matchett, the middle school tech coach, and Ed Duclos, the high school tech coach, are going to talk about kind of how we rolled out AI in South Windsor. Ed is really sociable. He's really easy to talk to. And he's really good at getting the word out there. And so we're finding that people, I mean, they might be reaching out to you. They're definitely not reaching out to me. They're reaching out to Ed, though. And just asking, do you mind sharing how you went through this process, how you ended up where you are right now, and what's going on? So we are going to present about that on Friday. We have been asked to present again in December for the state, if you didn't know that, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to it.
Okay. Yeah. Are you going to join us for the presentation, or are you going to be in the audience? I'll join. We're going to just tell Doug what we're doing with Doug watching.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So, yeah, I know, and you know, we're kind of famous now. Ed did a news interview that we were reposted by the CEO, the founder of Magic School, by Adil himself. So the word's getting out there. We are just kind of sharing what we've learned through the process so that other districts near and far can kind of take pieces from us and help their districts roll out similar tools too.
Yeah, that's great. I know I'm just kind of joking because I'm part of a national board and on an AI committee, mm-hmm. And an emerging, well, it's called the EdTech Innovation Committee now.
Okay.
And they were asking districts and stuff, and I was one of them to give our, like, how we chose things for this year, AI systems.
Yeah, we just chose the cute ones, just tell them that.
Yeah, well, that's not how I say it. I say we piloted some systems and we, you know, I think.
We rock, paper, scissored over it.
Rock, paper, scissored. Yeah, that's what we did. Well, I think that we have. It's good. I mean, I'm not necessarily, I think it's going to grow. I think this system that we have now that we chose, Magic School, mm-hmm. I think they're going to grow exponentially because they are geared toward teachers. There are other things out there that are geared toward teachers too. And I'm not saying that those aren't good systems, but this system, our teachers, works well for us. Yeah. So if you haven't tried it yet, you should try it. You just log in through your apps account, grades 6 through 12.
Yeah. Oh, and we're working on getting pilot licenses for the elementary school. We did do a Google Form survey last spring. And so if you said you were interested in using it with your students, you are likely going to be on the pilot. And if you've ever talked tech to me at all, probably going to try to throw you on the pilot too. So be prepared.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Anything else? We didn't even talk about what we did this summer or anything like that.
Wow. We didn't even start with didn't even tell you my tales about my DIY in my kitchen.
No, we didn't even go there. I don't know.
There's this video. Are you on social media at all?
Me?
Yeah. Not LinkedIn, but like actual for fun social media.
For fun, it's just a workout social media app.
So no. So there's this video.
So no. Well, I'm connected to other people.
You're not going to see what I'm talking about is what I'm insinuating. Of this woman installing a cabinet with no supports, no safe work area. I'm not going to judge her, but I've been lifting heavy weights in preparation for this, and I can't say that she appears to have done the same. So this video that's been going around keeps getting sent to me because I'm installing cabinets, of this woman putting a cabinet on the wall, going to start drilling it in, and it just knocks her out. Like, her cabinet, they all just go down. And that has been recirculated to me in so many different variations this summer. So I can gladly say I've installed all 4 cabinets and I have not fallen off a counter with the cabinetry on top of me. And that is how my summer has been going.
I'm very impressed that you're doing it.
Yeah, I'm doing my best with no guidance except for technology, right? Yeah. I will use AI and social media and YouTube and all the things to teach me, thanks to my great prompting skills, on what I'm trying to figure out to do solo.
Well, that's the thing. You don't really have to have great prompting skills.
Well, you do, because you don't really, like, it's hard to find the words to know what you're looking for, especially like when I'm doing these kinds of projects, I don't have anybody else to pick their brain on. So it's like, I don't even know how to ask what I'm looking for. And so there's a lot of different iterations for me to figure out.
I see what you mean.
Like, how do I, blah, blah, blah.
I just have a conversation. I start a conversation with it saying, I am doing this project. I have this equipment. I have this many boards. I have this, you know, I have T-slot aluminum. What bolts go with here? I'm looking at.
But you've already got a handful of vocab words.
Well, that, yeah.
Like, as a person who doesn't have that handful of vocab words.
That's where I agree with you. You're right. You still have to have you have to have background knowledge. Yeah. Let's put it that way. And then so that's the important thing about these AI systems.
Yeah.
They can't think for you.
Yeah, and that's
well,
why
they can think for you, but yeah. You have to know what you're asking.
Yeah, and that's why we love Magic School, because it has a lot of great prompts and examples.
I like how I circled back there.
Yeah, oh, tied it right in.
Tied it right in.
High five. Like,
yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So did you see, so you obviously didn't run any marathons this summer. You just practiced?
No.
Walked?
No, we went away a couple times this summer, so it was good. But, you know, I used AI in almost everything I did.
I'm sure.
For planning. Purposes.
Yes.
Because I I'm not using Google anymore. And the cool thing about it now is that I will use ChatGPT or other AI systems,
mm-hmm.
and I don't get targeted ads.
Must be nice.
So if you use Google, for those of you out there, everyone probably knows this. It's like you use Google for something like, hey, I'm looking for a chair, and then all of a sudden you get advertisements and everything that you look up. On your phone, on your computer,
oh, you
like
speak
that.
Out loud.
Yeah, with I mean, at least not yet.
Think about.
Yeah, I mean, at least not yet. Like in ChatGPT and just going in there, I don't get those targeted advertisements. And they just came out with advanced voice mode, which eerily sounds like your voice.
That's why I kept saying Soul. That's her name, right?
Soul is you. And I asked Soul if they copied your voice from our podcast.
Didn't she say probably?
And no, she said, no, this probably didn't happen. That's what she said.
You should ask her again right now.
Well, I
put her on blast.
See, I'm not sure digital on digital, because sometimes it doesn't come out well.
Give it a try. So essentially ChatGPT now has voice mode and you can choose your different voices. I know for all of my virtual assistants, I choose like Australian because that is a cool accent. But Doug found one that sounds like me. And to be honest, I was chatting with ChatGPT this summer for ideas. I was verbalizing it. So they might have, because I don't read the fine print, used my voice to develop their new one.
Hey, did you use Danielle's voice?
I didn't use anyone's voice in particular, but I can see how it might sound like I'm mimicking someone. My goal is just to keep things lively and engaging.
Same.
Yeah, same. The thing I like about this is you can interrupt it.
Yeah.
They did have a kind of voice before, but it wasn't conversational as much.
Yeah.
So it was not bad, but now
they do like ums and take pauses and stuff. It's not like, it's very human-like.
Yeah, very human-like. And this, you can basically have a conversation, but it's difficult with other people around. So you can have like a group conversation because it starts responding to different people in the group. Mm-hmm. But so I was, you know, I plugged in my headphones and I'm at home, and then I just turn it on and I start asking questions and just having conversations with it.
And your family doesn't bat an eye, because this is normal for you to talk to yourself.
They do not bat an eye. But I'm very careful not to be, not to try emotionally attached to it and think it's a tool. Because that's the thing, like people are starting to get emotionally attached to these AI systems, and I'm not there.
Don't recommend.
I wouldn't recommend, because it's not a person.
True.
And the thing you have to watch out, you know, confirmation bias?
No. Yes, but no.
Yeah,
I
mean,
can't
it's
kind of
obviously, but yeah, it's your bias. You're basically...
You're going to find what you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to if you're looking for something, you're going to find it.
Yeah.
It's just like if you buy a car and then all of a sudden you say, wow, everyone owns this car.
My mind, Doug.
Yeah.
It's like a blue CRV. Everyone's got blue CRVs now.
Everyone bought blue CRVs. So, you know, confirmation bias. So that's the problem with these systems, is that sometimes it's... almost too nice, or it's kind of it's kind of give you what you want to hear. If you don't tune it, you have to actually intentionally say.
Can't you tell it like?
You can tell it, hey, I want you to be critical of me. But how many people are going to say, hey, can you be critical of what I'm about to say?
I mean, I'm imagining if you are exercising, you're practicing for your half marathon, and you're like, I want to quit. And it's like, you cannot quit. You have to finish this.
Yeah, it doesn't do that yet. In fact, my workout app just introduced an AI feature. So it gives you an AI summary. It's basically as a coach. Mm. And it's a little bit too positive for me, I have to say.
I have an app idea that I'm going to run by you off air so no one can take it along those lines.
I mean, it basically says, impressive run with a faster pace than your recent average. I'm not really looking for that. Just tell me that.
You're not an Apple user, but it will tell you, like, oh, not doing too good today. Maybe you should try to take a few more steps before you go to bed. And I was like, you can, enough with that. Turn that off. But yes, it will tell you if you're not doing a good day.
See, I like that more. This is like it's too positive for me.
No, and if you like connect with your friends, like, oh, your friend's exercising harder than you. Maybe you want to try to catch up. And I'm like, nope, no, we don't. Thank you.
But I mean, so I guess that's my point with the AI system is a lot of times.
Know you better, Doug.
It's got to know you better, know how to motivate. You know, once it starts motivating you, maybe that's not the way to motivate you.
No, not me.
It'll be a better system for learners, but you know, it's a little bit too rosy. If you come up with an idea, it's not going to say that idea. Not that anybody should say that idea is terrible, but maybe it's not.
You have critical thinking.
Yeah, maybe it's not the best idea.
Yeah.
And it'll come back. You actually have to tell it, hey, you need to critique this idea. Am I really off base here? And a lot of times, oh, you're not off base. And then it'll give you things why it's, you know, it thinks that you're not off base with. I don't know. It kind of has to tweak.
Give it a few months. The way the stuff has been improving, it'll have all the things we've asked for and things we haven't even thought about yet before we even know it.
But I guess my point is that emotional attachment. So, don't do that. Because it's like a really nice friend. And, you know, sometimes you need somebody to tell you the truth.
Yeah, like a real human.
A real human. So it's not there yet, and I kind of like the human connection people
have. I'll be the real person. I will tell you that's a bad idea, Doug.
Yeah. But for feedback, for essays or questions and stuff like that, it's very good. It's just the personal stuff where it's like, you're not quite there yet. You can give it different personas, but that's work. That takes a little work to do.
Yeah.
You just want to open up your phone and start talking to it, and you want it to have exactly how, you know. And maybe that's my point. You want exactly what you want to hear.
Doug wants exactly what Doug wants to hear.
So, I don't know. We're not really there yet with AI, but we're getting there closer. He said, Sam Altman, the one of the founders of OpenAI.
Mm-hmm.
Said we are 1,000 days to super intelligence.
Wow.
So that just means that this AI system will basically know what you want and give you what you want, or, you know, come up with systems to protect you,
who even knows?
That basically create other AI systems without humans in the loop. So it can get scary. It's going to get...
Don't leave them with this fear-mongering over here, Doug.
I'm just saying this is the reality that's happening. So that's why we have to get it.
I think Sam has done a good job so far, and I put my faith in Sam to make sure that he keeps us relatively safe from the bad AI.
I wouldn't, because they're... Well, yes.
Sam, in particular. I'm not talking about everybody.
No, but they have it in their business interests to have an AI that's safe. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So, but other people do not.
Yes, and those people shall not be named.
Yeah, nation states might not have an interest in a good AI. But OpenAI and Google and Microsoft, they have an interest in having a safe, effective AI system. So, and the people are working on it. So,
yeah.
You got to have a little faith there, I guess.
Faith, I do.
All right, well, that's kind of a downer to end on, but we're running out here. It's like 45 minutes here, so.
Oh, well, I guess According to ChatGPT, we should ask our listeners to subscribe and rate the podcast.
Wow, this is, I wouldn't want them to rate this podcast.
Oh, well, apparently podcasters now just say, only rate it if you're going to give us 5 stars. Oh. If you're going to give us 4 stars, then don't. To be honest, though, I'm not trying to find new subscribers. I just think if you work in South Windsor, this is a great way to join a meeting on what it sounds like with Doug and I. So if I ever have a presentation and you have the option to join, please do, because this is what kind of happens. Because I force Doug to come listen to my presentations usually.
You don't have to force me. I like, you know, coming to the presentations. It's good.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well.
So we have to thank our listeners for their time.
Yes, and recap the key takeaways. I don't think I could summarize that without AI.
I know. We need that Notebook LM to do that 3-minute podcast. Key the key takeaway is one.
Grade 6 through 12, you already have premium access to Magic School.
Start playing around with it, and students can use it. As soon as you set up a room, they can use it, and you have full control. Yep. And if you have any questions, contact one of the technology coaches. And just keep looking out for, or we'll look out for you too.
But yeah, if you find something cool, tell us. Totally. And we'll take a peek at it.
And I have a different person almost every day comes up with something that I might not have heard of. Sometimes, I've heard of it, but new AI systems out there for presentations. Hey, can we use this? And just keep them coming, because just keep the conversation going.
And on November 1st, Doug is going to roll out his sandbox.
Yes.
So keep that in mind.
I have all the parts ready to go.
Yeah, well, we'll stay tuned.
The augmented reality sandbox. So, in fact, we have a long weekend coming in, and I think I'll have some time to put it all together.
Mark my words. False.
I have a November 1st deadline. I have not forgotten about it. I've tweaked with it. I've actually worked on it. This is going to happen.
All right. Well, we'll find out next time.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, augmented reality sandbox, look it up. It's awesome. And I have promised to...
For over 4 years now. So it's before this role was even invented.
More than that. But I have everything together. I just have to put it together. So...
Yeah, have AI write for
everything
plan to
around,
do that.
And I just have to put it together like Legos.
All right. Well, that will be our talking point for the next podcast.
All right.
Until then, we will catch you next time.
All right.